Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Dan.
And what an exciting episode, particularly for you, Dan.
The song that was to define my taste in music, away from Blink and pop punk into soft rock.
I don't know what that song is for me. Just for some context, Dan said that... We'll do the preamble first, but Dan said that Shueo was the song that would, if you can condense his music taste into one song, it would be Shueo.
Yeah, man.
I think it's a really interesting concept.
It's the speed. I think it's 110, and it's just, it makes you want to move, and it sneaks up on you. Mm. Like, if it's on in the background, and everybody's like at a party and there's conversation, everything just lifts a little bit. They need to do some sort of study on that BPM.
I bet there has been. If not, I'll do it. Speaking of doing extracurricular activities, I've been off work this week, and it's never been truer that I've got too many hobbies for a job.
Yeah, it's hard work, isn't it?
I had one of the greatest days of my life yesterday. I went to Trafford Centre, went on my bike, I had a lie-in, I had a takeaway.
Oh, wow.
Football was back. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's a little thing to that. So how are they doing football then? Is it just closed stadiums?
Yeah, basically. So what is funny though is that some teams are doing it where you can send in a picture of yourself and they print out a cardboard cutout and they put it in the seats.
Amazing.
But in Germany or something, there was no sort of filter. So somebody put in Dominic Cummins and put him in. I think somebody put in Harold Shipman as well. So there was a cardboard cutout of Harold Shipman watching a football game in Germany.
Are they playing any crowd noise over the top?
Yeah, but they're adding it in post after, so they're not playing it into the stadiums.
Do you know the horrific truth about the sound that you hear anyway?
What do you mean?
It's all fake. Because you imagine that some of the chants that are going on when you watch it on TV, so the crowd noise isn't real.
Oh, so they've just like got a crowd.
Yeah, it's like canned laughter.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a canned laughter machine.
Yeah,
so like they must have someone like physical machine
controlling it during the football, like when something like whoa.
I was thinking though, what like. Because obviously they're gonna press there'll be some like poor intern who knows how to work like GarageBand or Logic will be doing it.
Yeah.
But it was like, obviously, if there's a goal, they're gonna like play the cheer sound.
Yeah.
But for stuff like the referee falling over, do they have like a whee?
That you could just fall around with.
Yeah, I think it'd be even better if they had like comedy sound effects. You know, stuff like. Where's Matt gone now? It must have been boring him.
It's just gone. We started. You can't just leave.
He's just dipped.
When Matt finally returned.
I tried to kill Matt yesterday again on a bike. But
yeah, but I survived it this time around. It was...
Didn't fall off.
Yeah, well, not only that, I just found that the distance easier because, you know, last time I hadn't been on a bike for 6 years, whereas now I've had a bit of practice and all that climbing was less of a stress, no rhyme intended, on my legs and heart.
And emotions.
That's beautiful.
Mm.
That's poetic.
Yeah, it is.
It's a beautiful, beautiful evening.
Yeah, it was to be.
And then we got home and it pissed it down.
I used to have a bike, I always used to have bull bars. And I thought they were really like a useful thing. But then I think they became like a hoe.
Yeah, they're definitely a hoe.
And I think the top though, you get a different angle with it, especially like when you're going uphill.
Yeah.
Like you're almost like lifting the front of your bike up. And it used to work for me really great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They are a hoe.
They are off.
You'll get they'll be Gen Z. They won't even know what they are.
Yeah, I honestly thought they were fucking great. I couldn't believe somebody. I've often picked up on it before. Like bull bars, what are you on about? And I was like, oh really? Don't they really important part of it for me?
Yeah.
another who was the bit of foam on top of your BMX that protected your balls from smacking into it.
do you remember bull boy shoes?
No.
That just reminded me of the mention of bull bars. But there was an advert that went, bull bar shoes are what you need. Get the power on your feet. There is like, buy your bull bar shoes now and receive a free ball signed by Gareth Southgate.
Gareth Southgate there. That would be fortune now, wouldn't it?
What? Yeah, it would.
Did you read his in GQ last month? Do you know the one with...
No, I didn't read it, actually. I did mean to read his, his interview.
He was on about, like, the... not atmosphere, but, like, the sort of vibe that came out of the waistcoat and everything, and everyone was buying those waistcoats from Inés, weren't they?
Yeah.
They
were
it was Inés. It's like... it was like that year's Peaky Blinders hat, wasn't it? Yeah. But, yeah, what have we been listening to this week?
Well... I have been listening to French pop music. Okay, judge me. I don't know what they're saying, but there's these two French women that I've stumbled across, and I really like them. I don't know how you say the names properly. One is potentially Philippine, like Philippines, but at the S. And then the other one is M-A-E-L-L.
Oh, here we go.
E. And either the A or the E has got an umlaut.
I thought you were going to say, and their names are Daphne and Celeste.
U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly.
Yeah, did they do that? Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Junior, these are separate people.
Yes. Sorry, I spelled the second one's name incorrectly. It is M-A-E, and that's the one with the umlaut, but the French name for an umlaut, double L-E.
Mael?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what I would have, you know, if you had a gun to my head, that's what...
What would you say? Go on,
sorry. Yeah, if I had a gun to my head, that was probably how I would have guessed it's pronounced, but...
The, just zoom in. Until it looks like Adele. I think that's the approach to the album artwork.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I've got a quandary for you then. So, you know, like in Richie Rich, the film, where he's got a McDonald's in his house?
Oh, yeah.
Is that home cooked food because the McDonald's is in his house? It's a good job we're not stoned because. I think that finishes off.
It's a Reddit shower thought, bro.
Yeah, it is, isn't
Get it?
Get
it on there.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with no, because it's still a brand.
Oh, well. I think we should replace you on this podcast then with Bike Friend.
Shut up, Bike Friend.
Imagine, like, Josh is the absolute key person and we just bid him. Yeah. Make this bike guy learn how to edit. I've got a copy of Logic for you, lad. Come on.
What band's this?
Shut up!
What have I been listening to? I feel like my music taste has regressed to when I was 15 and all I've listened to is Biffy Clyro and the Pixies. And Nirvana.
It's Pixies, not the Pixies. Call yourself a fan.
I said Pixies, I didn't say the.
Well, when you listen back to this recording, we'll see who's right.
I might edit myself out, even if I did say
it. It might have been like a Lancashire thing, and the Pixies or something.
Yeah. Yeah. The Monkeys.
Oh, God. Oh, I haven't thought about that in years. Right, so, on the MySpace days...
Cash in.
Wow.
Cash in back to 2005.
What was it called? It was like it was essentially like posting the status, but on MySpace. And somebody who I knew, I remember exactly who he is as well, but I won't say their name so I have to edit this out, was trying to, how would you say it, over-northern their MySpace status, whatever. And they condensed Arctic Monkeys to monkeys, like Thambulance or something like that. And I was like, it doesn't work. That does not work. You can't do that. You can't just stick TH in front of something.
TH needs to be followed by a vowel. There are rules to being northern.
Yeah. You can't. Oh, what was so funny? On I was watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with my grandma the other day. There was this woman on from Rochdale.
Yes.
And she
got 16.
Her husband, and they was like, oh yeah, when they met, and she was like, yeah, I met him when I was 10 year old. And I was like, you can tell she's from Rochdale because she said 10 year old. Yeah. All one word, 10 year old.
And then she crookled.
I said, do you know, right, if I said I was ligging about, would you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah, you're just like being lazy.
Lying. See, I wouldn't have known.
Would you not? See, no, yeah. No.
What about Fev?
Fev, yeah, that's Fev, horrible.
Yeah.
Fev doesn't translate to Manchester, though.
No. I love the word Fev. I need to try use it more often. Snicket. There you go. That's another good one.
Snicket, yeah. We should start like another podcast, which is just us saying northern words, so you know. Yeah.
I thought snicket was like another word, like what other people call ginnels, so. Though.
Yeah,
like, but Ginnell's really, really local area. Where the crookle is.
I think snicket's more rare than Ginnell is, yeah.
I think Ginnell is exclusively for something between two houses.
Yeah.
Whereas a snicket, I think, is a more general term.
Like a cut through, I would probably say.
Yeah. I reckon that where you used to live, Matt,
yeah,
I think there was a snicket kind of near your house there.
Yeah. I think we've lost the audience, Josh.
You literally couldn't get more local. It's not even a road.
No.
You can't even put it into Google Maps. No.
If you would like to send in recommendations of snickets and ginnels near you, you can find us at the 1975 pod on Twitter. Right, thanks. Oh, Neil knocked my headphones off. Thank you for everyone for listening to the podcast from around the world.
Can I do a special shout-out? Shout-out, like Radio 1, to a colleague of mine who has discovered the podcast, so Stefan Ram, if you're listening. If you've not got bored of us yet, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. So, yeah, everyone, including Stefan Ram, can follow us on Twitter at the 1975 pod. And we've got Facebook now. I feel like I forget in most. So if you're still on Facebook, if Facebook's not a who yet, you can give us a like or follow on there, whatever it is. Become a fan. It's not that anymore, is it? Yeah, and if you want to get in touch, you can email us at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com. So today we are talking about... I feel like I shouldn't really do the intro to this one. I feel like Dan over there.
Yeah, Mom.
I feel like it should be you that does the intro to this song.
So today we're talking about... Wow, Tay.
Taylor Swift. Okay,
today we're talking about She Way Out. With a face
from a movie scene, a magazine. I've just seen on Spotify for podcasts, the artist that our listeners to has changed. And now, people that listen to us, one of the artists to listen to is Taylor Swift.
Good. That's the sort of fan base we want.
Taylor Swift is great. She's got some great songs.
She has, yeah. She's a Spotify denier, or at least was, but, you know, we'll...
Spotify denier. Right, just before we go into the song, just real quick... I've just seen this come up and I feel like it's worth us commenting on it. So for Dork magazine, when asked about having a Notes on a Conditional Form tour, Matty has said, I just don't think it will happen. I'll be in a different place. It will be something done in retrospect and I'm not interested in looking back. So even after the pandemic, it doesn't look like they're interested in touring. Which... But it's hard to know exactly what that means. Does that mean, is that the Notes on a Conditional Tour album tour? Sorry, Notes on a Conditional Form album tour, or is it just a tour by the 1975?
No, I think it'll just be the Notes tour, won't it? Because it's standard practice to tour an album, and he's said before, hasn't he, doesn't like being retrospective, with Guys being the most retrospective song he's ever written. So, yeah, but then again, like, it doesn't mean that he won't play those songs live, because, you know, they still play sex. They still play robbers. So,
yeah. Yeah. At least by sense that, it won't be something that's like, you know, because they've sort of postponed, and I think it's a North American tour. So yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens. Like all these big bands that are gonna do after. Still waiting for Hockey Dad to announce their rescheduled tour for Manchester.
So if you're listening, Hockey Dad,
we love your Simpsons references and we love your band. Anyway, She Way Out, Dan, take it away.
So She Way Out is a song that's really close to my heart. I think it's sick. Depending on what order Josh edits this in, we may have already spoke about the tempo of it, which I think creates this addictive vibe. And he's just great, man. I bet it's a similar BPM to Are You In by Incubus, right, which has the same effect in a room. I just think if you, like I said before, if you've got a few people in a room all chatting away and you put this song on, that just creates atmosphere. It's beautiful. And that's how it was when we first heard it. I think in Academy 3. Junior, you might tell me that it was Club Academy.
I can't remember which Academy it was. They all merge into one.
It wasn't Academy 1 because he was supporting someone small, and it wasn't Academy 2 because that feels like a weird school hall. What an odd venue.
Have we ever seen him in Academy 2? I don't feel like we have.
I don't think so. That'd be so weird seeing him there. And then, so I think it was Academy 3, and it was the first moment, and we've told this story before, but in more general terms, that when you saw these guys supporting Little Comets or whoever they were supporting at a particular gig, you've never seen an audience start telling each other to shut up because they want to watch a support band off nothing other than the music that they've just heard. Like, that's the dream that's sold to you if you're going to go out touring support for someone. Like, oh, people will listen to you, people will like you, but they don't, though. They either don't turn up, or they get drunk, or they're at the bar, or whatever, they're waiting for the headliners. And when the 1975 played, maybe it was because of the infectious enthusiasm that was coming from, like, the four of our little crew. But people shut up and listened. And the first time I really realised that was Adam playing the intro riff to She Way Out. And it sounded live at that very early stage when they were supporting people, how it sounds now to me.
Yeah.
It echoed out and just cut through everything.
Yeah, but you know what? Those are the exact words I was going to use. I was going to say just cut through the atmosphere, because obviously you get that chatter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just like, it's like, totally. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. And everyone just sort of went, one second, like, and paused the conversation and watched the support band, like, off that riff. And what a moment, man. It was great. And it's so, there's that side of it that I think it really gains attention and takes control of a room. Now, whether when you're with your mates, and then when we were in those little venues. But it's just a vibe, and it's a gateway out of rock music for me into something like more ambient, something more funky. I don't know. I really love it.
Yeah. Just more layered as well. Like,
yeah.
Rock and music. Great, don't get me wrong, but it generally doesn't go beyond two guitars, a bass and drums, does it? Well, a vocals. Yeah. And there's obviously a lot you can do with that, but when you start experimenting with the electronic side, samples and, you know, so on and so forth, it does just give you so much more, just more layers, and yeah, it's just, in a nutshell, a more complete song. Like, I would say I used to, back in me more when I thought were rebellious days, I was like, yeah, I'm rock through and through. I would consider something like Heartbreak Warfare by John Mayer, which is, it's like 90% production. It's just so produced. It's unreal to be shit pop music, because I can't, it's not raw. You know what I mean? I wanted that rawness of, that's guitars, that's bass, that's drums, that's vocals. Whereas, yeah, now I appreciate what good pop music is, and it is all that post-production, except the 1975 are doing it live. from a laptop.
It was just a great moment for me hearing it echo around. So, but when I say that it's my music taste boiled down into a song now, I actually look for songs and listen to songs, and my Discover Weekly is filled with stuff that is that does that thing to a room that I've described, that like lifts the atmosphere and makes conversations better. And then I listen to it in a different way, but like it's the way music can affect social interaction like that is really interesting to me, and I end up listening to loads of stuff like that. And I think I listen to a lot of stuff and I think, oh, this would be amazing if I was like with my mates and it was on in the background, which is such a weird thing to think about music, I think, especially for us. Like, it's proper like primary, isn't it, the way we listen to this band and discuss it, rather than secondary having on in the background. But it's important, it makes you feel good, man. Thanks for listening.
I don't want to say negative. I obviously really like it, but I think for me, what I think about this one is, I think of it more general in the terms of like, it just goes to show how strong the album is as a whole, that a song like this doesn't stand out for me.
Yeah, this isn't a single. It's not even looking at being a single on this album.
No, it is just an album track, and it's...
Yeah.
I think it's probably... I do really like it, and I think when I listen to it, I always think, oh, it's brilliant. Lyrics are amazing. But I think it's because it's... I think there are other songs on the album that I like more than it.
Oh, well, okay.
I think. And I would have only heard it along with the album, unlike you two.
Yeah, a lot of that first album, it's the memories that you have attached to it. And yeah, I just love it. Like, I remember when we did the review of Notes in a Conditional Form, I can't remember if I said I think it's my favourite or the best. Either way, I hyped it.
I think you said best.
Yeah, but it's not my favourite. The 1975 will just always be my favourite.
That's interesting. What a distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into that, but I still think that the first is the best. I think it's the most complete idea and execution of what they've wanted to do.
Yeah, because you've got like 2 years between albums or whatever, and you think, you can do a whole new idea in that time, and yeah, but you can't do sort of 10 years of
first exactly.
Yeah, that's it
exactly.
It's 117 BPM.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I must have tapped it wrong when I was trying to rip it off.
I think that's just outside the... I think the optimum dance tempo is 100 to 110.
It's my vibe.
Yeah, it is. It is a great song, and like, I think that the opening guitar riff, there's something that's like, it does grab you, but I think there's something very familiar about it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's sort of emulating those 80s sort of guitars that they do. Obviously they have these elements throughout the album, but I think that's a real sort of like it's really derived, isn't it, from those 80s guitar sounds.
Yeah,
and I think it's put so prominently in the song, whereas like I can't think of many other songs on the album that just start with the guitar hook. Maybe Sex, Settle Down arguably.
Girls. Would you say that's a hook?
That all comes in together, though. I mean, just one guitar.
Oh, of course it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Don't make me open another can. And it's something that they've never... I think the relationship with guitars is strange in that, despite them being predominantly live, a two-guitar band... The guitars are rarely a prominent part of the songs, really.
Yeah, I would say that they are the tool that writes the song, but then they deviate, don't they?
I saw something on Twitter the other day that said that the second album was the only one that had guitar solos on it.
I remember it being a thing when... I do remember it being a thing. Like, fucking, all right, Adam, calm down.
But then, I mean, obviously, I think of that. I just think, like, well, you know, come on, the sound, the guitar solo in that. It's just, why would you not want to make more music like that? But
yeah.
I know it's not that easy.
I feel like for She Way Out, we need to have a yet another Ross appreciation. What a guy. the intro, just again demonstrating why he's a great bassist. Just subtle, what it needs and nothing more. Just that it's just simple notes with a slide, and yeah, great. I've not done a great job of explaining that, have I?
It's really good though. You because the melody doesn't follow that bass line either at all. Like, and it's a really nice like combination, and makes it so interesting and layered.
Yeah,
I think it's so.
I feel actually like I'm just going to give it another listen now. I feel like there's actually a bass note immediately just underneath that guitar intro. Yeah, it's like as soon as it kicks. Dum. I've never picked up on that before.
You got the synth in there right at the start as well. I think that helped when we saw it live. That'd help it so.
Yeah, that lifts for everybody. Yeah, definitely. But I think that just goes back to sort of, you know, what bands are. To me, that's like, that's someone in the studio that really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because when, you know, when you write that, you don't necessarily think of it like, right, I'm going to do this guitar part at the start, but it's going to have a synth note and a bass note underneath it. That's someone in the studio saying like, right, to take this song to the next level, we just add little accents like this.
Yeah. Yeah. If watching Rick Beato's YouTube channel has taught me anything, it's production helps areas of a song breathe. You give it space and, you know, it lift things up. Whereas, yeah, I just think four people in a practice room wouldn't necessarily think like that. They probably do now, but at the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all self-produced, the stuff that they're doing there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there are parts of songs that you'll get where you won't be able to discern exactly what you are hearing underneath.
Yeah.
But then they give that sort of, just like when you hear it, it's so recognisable. Like Clocks by Coldplay has like just a little guitar slide underneath it.
Oh, does it?
And it's really hidden. Because you think of that, you think, oh, I'm only hearing the piano. But then it's such a signature sound, it's because you get stuff like this underneath it. So when you heard it live, it was probably the combination of all three things, but you sort of process it as just a guitar intro.
Yeah. I love as well there's a technical term for it. I don't know what it is, but when George is hitting his drumsticks off the snare drum, it goes tick, 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 tick.
Rim shots, brother.
There we go.
We'll have to ask. Yeah, I was going to say ask Max, but we know it. What I thought was interesting when I was like sort of having a look around stuff online about this song. They did a gig last year at a place called The Garage in London, and they played it.
Oh, cool.
And the crowd reception was huge, obviously, playing that, because they never play it anymore.
Yeah.
But I just think in terms of like the song's legacy, I think, I know we've said it a few times before, but if another band had released it, it'd be massive.
Yeah, absolutely would. This song got me through shifts at Next as well. It used to get played on the Next playlist, which I christened Next FM. And
oh, brilliant.
Wait, Next FM's not real?
No.
I've heard that. I thought it was an actual thing you might even be able to go on and listen to off the website.
No, it just a very well-curated playlist. Like, I don't know who does the music for them, but they did a great job. But yeah, this was one of the songs that used to get played. Great song, yeah. But it's funny that I used to tell people about the 1975 before they were the 1975. At Next, I'm like, honestly, this band I'm going watching tonight, they're brilliant, so on and so forth. And then when they finally hit the playlist, I was buzzing my titties off. I was just like, this is them. And Paul Cattell, not that anyone knows him, well, someone might if you're from the Greater Manchester area. He was like, yeah, they're all right there. He's got a dead soulful voice. I'm like, ooh, soulful.
Soulful? So yeah. Someone likes the Lighthouse Family.
Yeah. Well, is that age range?
What I also found that was really interesting is that if you go on YouTube, Obviously, not loads comes up for this song because there's no video, there's not too many live sort of performances, and even in like sort of the pro shot live stuff they did around this time, this wasn't really knocking around the set list like Heart It would be, like an absolute staple. There's a video called She Way Out Slow.
Oh, okay.
Which, don't expect too much. It's literally someone has just slowed the entire song down, but not done any pitch correction. So, it's like, she's got two phones, everything. It's like that. So I just find it interesting that someone did that, but what's funny is that someone's commented saying, oh, finally, I've been waiting for this. Like, who before was like, do you know what I really want? I really want a slowed down version of Shueya with no pitch correction to appear on YouTube with an anime graphic as the video. Hang on a minute. Matthew Collins commented, 2014.
Did I actually?
No. Oh. Got him.
It's interesting when, I think, you're not sure, are you? But this song, the intro sample, do you know, like, you can go on and listen to She Way Out demo. Yeah. I heard that demo, like the intro sample, really early. I'm sure it was a Tumblr thing when they were running their own Tumblr at some point, and it turned up on there. So this is sort of the post-MySpace shit. But I think I might have heard that before I'd heard the live versions of... She Way Out and Heart Out. Sorry.
All right.
Settle Down and Heart Out. So I think it might have been like a step for them as well. Like if you imagine the first like tapping thing, I know there's tapping at the end of Sex, but to bring it into like a riff, like I like the idea that this might have been their like gateway to like, oh, let's go in a bit of a different direction to these rock songs. Like, do you reckon you could play something over this? And then from She Way Out comes Heart Out, come Settle Down, and this is like the line in the sand. I think that is how it worked, time-wise.
Because I think, like, to directly compare those three, because we said them as like a three, I feel like there's more going on in Heart Out and Settle Down, particularly Heart Out. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were happy with Settled She Way Out, and it was like, right, let's build on these ideas, let's build on this sound.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised, really, if She Way Out was one of the very early ones that was thought up for this album, obviously, as in new songs, not like Sex Chocolate and all them. And sort of that, the way they were playing that kind of informed some of the stuff that, like you say, that came after it. Or maybe the way they played these songs, let's say. So, is it time to talk about the Deaf Institute video gig whole scenario?
Yeah. So, I mean, after seeing this on live and hearing it take over, that it was infectious immediately, and you couldn't miss that main line, and we knew the gap in it. I think that's all we knew. A couple of support slots, maybe a really small headline show. And that's how often we'd heard it. Do you know what I mean? I don't think we had any recordings of it.
No. I feel like maybe the Deaf Institute was the first time we ever threw that call and response in. But we must have heard it previously to have gone, that's an idea. But I feel like that's the first time we actually did it.
So... hit up YouTube, guys. Put in She Way Out Deaf Institute. Does this work?
Yeah, it will do. If you just put in She Way Out the 1975, the black and white video, the black and white live video.
Yeah, there it is. So in the chorus, you hear us go, She Way Out. Never seen her dance, move, dancing like She Way Out. And then four idiots in the audience shout back, She Way Out. And that is... well, it's not you, Josh. You're excluded from this. But it's certainly me and Junior.
Yeah.
It was already, you're already slipping away from us at this point, man. Yeah. So, like, it felt crazy, this gig, man.
Yeah.
So sick.
They still didn't feel completely out of reach to me, though, until the moment I was like, oh, I should probably try and get tickets for that gig. And they'd sold out. I'm like, shit. Yeah.
What gig was that?
It was their last Academy one show.
Oh.
So then after that, they had done the Apollo, and I went to that with you. But the previous one to that, which I think would have been about 2014, maybe 2015, actually. It was September time. I tried getting tickets, and I just wasn't used to them selling out. I was used to, you know, the tickets could be released on Friday, and I probably had until about Tuesday to get my act together.
On this video, Deaf Institute is packed, basically.
Yeah, best venue in all of Manchester, if not
absolutely
all of the UK, if not all of Europe, if not the entire world.
The whole world. I do think, just watching it now, just when it drops after the second chorus, when and it drops into that bridge bit and it goes all quiet, I feel like I actually hear Dad shout, come on.
You know what I'm like.
You probably do.
You know what I'm like, because I like a drink, don't I? I wasn't going into these things sober. Do you know what I mean? I was having a fucking good time.
And you put it on from 2:29. You can hear someone shout, "Come on!" And it sounds like you do.
Right, I'm gonna have to search for this.
I can hear myself going, just chatting shit for about throughout the whole thing.
You can hear someone telling someone else about some kind of history documentary. That must have been you, Matt.
Yeah. I love that that's like my thing now. But I mean, I've got to own it because I fucking love history. Oh, actually, I've just caught a really good moment in that video. It's so incidental. That's not an intentional reference to milk. Let's see. Like the 2:40 mark, there's a couple having a pitch taken at the bar, and like I said, it's such a minor part, but I feel like that's like a really good moment to have been captured.
That'll be on their Instagram as well.
Yeah, it will.
It's what's crazy to me, right, is this: the song as performed at the Deaf Institute is basically the song that's on the album.
Yeah.
It's there's not much else in it, and it sounds fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my god! You can definitely see a guy in the bottom corner dancing around with some glasses on.
That'd be me. I've spotted myself before. My brother's also in the video though, so if you see someone that's me but without glasses, then that's him. I'm going to say it again, but the rim jobs and Ross's bass line. Just for that intro.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the full thing as well.
I think it's, in terms of the writing, I think it's, rather than like the specifics of the lyrics, it's just a super pop song. And then it really, that chorus, that sort of top line really sticks in your head, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And on the chorus, the guitar part, the...
Yeah.
It's just the... on top of... It's like the top layer, in effect. Yeah. Like it's the most audible part, but not the part you're particularly listening to, because obviously you generally focus on the lyrics. But it just works. The whole song just so well composed.
But it's not the first time where in the chorus they'll have a sort of like a chord, not a chord response as such with the guitar, but they'll have like the start of it will be like the sort of vocal. And then there'll be like a little guitar bit after that almost acts as like part one and two of like each line in the chorus.
Yeah.
But I just keep thinking like, when I listen to, and obviously we're doing it very in depth, I feel like Guinness World Records should really award us with a record for the most long form analysis of the 1975's first album.
Yeah, that's
can tweet
that.
Us. Guinness World Records, you can tweet us. How many songs in this style would they have written? And what I mean by that is all the stuff on the EPs, apart from songs like You and Milk, they're all a bit different, aren't they? They're all like a bit more electronic, and they're trying to do that whole sort of like self-produced style, I think, with it more. Where these are just like sort of like just proper pop songs, like big number one selling album songs. And for your first album to be put on it, I just find it incredible that they were coming up with so many like sort of tricks that experienced songwriters and experienced bands would do. Like I was watching a video about it was about Green Day, and it was I think it was Rick Beato now I mention it. It was breaking down Boulevard of Broken Dreams, and there was just little bits where the bass stops just as the kick drum comes in, and just like on those like beats, they just drop out the bass as the kick drum's in. And he was sort of saying like bands like Green Day have been doing this for 20 years. Stuff like that just becomes naturally. Like they know how to create like an interesting dynamic, an interesting composition when they make the songs. I just find it incredible that a band as young on the first proper releases in 1975 were doing stuff like this that experienced bands were doing.
Yeah.
For them to have that knowledge of what takes your songs to the next level.
Yeah. And we know that it was pre-Mike Crossey. Probably not say his name correctly, but they were doing that sort of stuff before they had experienced producers working with them.
Yeah, and then for to come in and sort of like tighten everything up, and then put in the little stuff like we said, like that bass just at the start of the right at the start of the song, and that little synth stuff just to sort of bring it all together. It just
gives it that depth, doesn't it? I'm going to come up with a food analogy, but it's probably going to be lost on anyone. Oh, no, we have a lot of Southeast Asian listeners, don't we? I was going to say, it's like tamarind. You just stick it in a Southeast Asian dish, and it makes all the difference, but you couldn't pick it out, you know what I mean? Probably scrub that. It's not a great analogy.
No, settle down is dairy milk.
No, because settle down is dairy milk.
It's immediately interesting, the reference to Robinson.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, like, that it was Caroline. I think Caroline said his brother said it. Oh, can they not write different words? Like, they're always just saying the same words in different songs. Like, no, they're referencing other songs. They're making it bigger than one song. It's one, like, piece of artwork that's all, like, referential within each other.
Wait, what's the word, Josh?
Is it interpolation?
It certainly is.
Well, the lyrics to this song, right, are just... You got two references. You got the references to Robbers, but then it almost like throws away the seriousness of Robbers, doesn't it? And almost got like it's almost like a drunk conversation. I feel like it's always had that sort of hazy club environment, and the lyrics do sort of reference that, don't they? Like when she's like lost her phone and stuff.
Am I being stupid or am I? Am I not seeing the Robbers link immediately?
Do you mean the sound?
No, she's got a face straight out of a magazine with a face from a movie scene.
Yeah.
Like, I like the way he does it as well, because it's not direct, but it's like, oh, he likes to talk about where girls' faces come from. Oh, he's actually mentioned Robbers like more directly there by saying, oh, magazine. Okay, good, fine. Fine, if he knows he's doing it,
I wonder if that's like, you know what I mean, as in like, you know what I mean, I already said it, or you know what I mean, like, yeah, I've sort of, you know my style of lyric writing now, he sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's just super conversational, isn't it? Like, putting you know what I mean in a song when you're from Manchester, even though they're not a Manchester band, like, it's nice.
You know what I mean.
A magazine. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh no, I wasn't necessarily referencing that, but finishing a sentence with "you know what I mean" is a conversational part of being from Manchester, which is why it's in that Oasis song. Less so why it's in this song, but it makes it feel Matt Healy, conversational, casual. You're not necessarily listening to a song; you're having a conversation with him. So we've got reference to Robbers, which is a very serious storytelling moment in this album and their lives, and then you go. And sort of, she definitely got the style on you. Like, I think I do feel like that sort of goes, but we're not being serious in this one.
Like things are a little different now. And you get the bass drop. She got to turn everything. I don't really know what he's referencing there. Any ideas?
I mean, before clicking on the genius annotation, I think
I haven't.
I know. I say before I do. I don't know. Maybe it's a bit sort of like superficial for me to say, but I think it would be that sort of. I don't know, the sort of girl that promotes that she just wears black. So she only wears black and white. So everything she owns, like.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually.
You know, those people that are just like, yeah, my whole wardrobe's black. Or the memes where it's like me on a sunny day and it's person like black skinnies and like a black t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine it, because I would imagine as well, if we're talking like the you know, what real things might have inspired this, I'd imagine that Matty would probably get a lot of attention from girls that dress like that.
Yeah.
Like, two-tone everything, whatever, it's a superficial thing. We shouldn't be too concerned about, I don't think. Moving, but she just can't move.
That's weird.
Repeated. What is that about? I think it means she's trying to dance, but she's off her fucking
tits. Yeah, it's the two meanings of move. So you can, like, bust a move, as in you're dancing.
But bust a move.
Move in the literal sense of movement. So she's moving... In a literal sense, her body is moving, but she just can't move. So if someone can't dance, you might, you can't move.
Yeah, she's moving, but she can't control those movements very well.
I think it says at the top, Matt Healy, lead singer of the band, describes She Way Out as a song for girls who can't dance.
Oh.
Oh, wait, look at this genius annotation. Right, okay, she's moving upwards in life but keeps ending back in the same place with people who are keeping her stationary. Or more literally, she's trying to dance but she just doesn't look good doing
it. I think that's probably it.
You got it.
What do you think about the two phones, everything? Because I mean, dealer.
Yeah, that would be my initial thought.
Somebody said on the annotation. Josh, you usually do the annotations.
I know. But
apparently, I've
they're a bit wordy this week. It's all right. I'll check Josh Daniels' last scene.
Somebody's saying an iPhone BlackBerry cocktail could mean that they're employed, but then they like to go out and have a good time with that iPhone.
Work phone. Company phone.
Two-tone everything. Or even being a drug dealer. Yeah, the line emphasises how she essentially has everything going for. That's not a sentence. This line emphasises how she essentially has everything going for. No, it's not because I'm pissed. It's not a sentence. Very good. Well done,
genius.
I feel
like they missed a trick here. Rather than saying iPhone BlackBerry cocktail, it probably should have said an Apple and BlackBerry cocktail.
Apple BlackBerry cocktail.
Oh, nice.
That there's got to be a t-shirt in that.
Yeah, I remember once seeing it when I was in Vietnam. There was a fake Apple and a fake BlackBerry shop next to each other, and I thought it was really funny. But the German man I was with at the time didn't. Oh God, that's worse. I mean, in a literal sense, I was with him. As in, I was by his side. I don't mean with him. We weren't in a relationship, although we did share a bed.
Looking through these lyrics now. I think they're more in the terms of the way we said that the city lyrics were, in that I feel like, no, do I think that? Because I was going to say that. I think a lot of the individual lines that are great, but then I think there are lines that maybe don't... I don't think every line is a progression in the narrative that is this song, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But
verse 2 is brilliant, and the way it's delivered, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That switch, isn't it, from like the sort of the, and you know, like sort of in terms of how they write, like the sort of the difference in the way they're delivering the lyrics in the first verse and the second verse. Like, how many songs by the 1975 do that? You know, even like today, like Too Shy, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So true. Different rhythm comes in the second verse.
I like how there's like no breaks between. It's just like a continuous line.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there is rhythm.
Yeah.
Like it's not just word after word, is it? That's
important as
but
well.
But imagine if that was the rhythm of all the verses. It just wouldn't work. Like,
no, it
that
wouldn't.
Only works as a break, doesn't it? As like, right, okay, this is your change. Because, imagine if we started off with that. She said it's not about your body, it's the social implications.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. Yeah.
You'd be like, whoa. Oh, that's a strange rhythm to start a song with.
It's a masterpiece to me, though. Like, and the way, so you've got that section, and then referenced right back to it is a section that's labelled as bridge. You could call it another verse, I think. Later on, like, the tension's overflowing with every density showing on the floor and in my mouth.
That's a great, like, yeah.
Oh, you think Matt Healy's cool as fuck, and he just wrote that casually. Like, I know that, like, he took, like... He fucking screenshotted that from his notes and on his iPhone and sent it to the boys like, you lads, look, I've just fucking written, yes! What is this? And they're like, yeah. George's like, yeah, have you finished the song yet? Like, she said, I'd love you to say, but it's simply insane. I got a feeling all my friends are going to kick in your brain. Like, the way it's like syllable for syllable matching that previous section. It's fucking amazing.
Talented lad.
It evokes more that sort of, what was it, money. I know menswear does as well, but we'll get onto that. Where it evokes a real kind of like, you can imagine these scenes from like that period of the life.
Yeah.
Where it's like, let's be honest, they'd spend a lot of the time going out, house parties, all this sort of stuff. I know menswear is a wedding, it's a bit different. But just like the... I just feel like when you're reading them, you can really imagine these scenarios happening to them all, and I think that's one reason why we all love this album so much is because they're familiar to us, these situations.
Mate, yeah, you've been there in the smoking area at factory when the tension's been overflowing and she's throwing Benson's. Like, you've been there, man. Like the fact that tension can collect somewhere and then overflow. Imagine the rush that's going on in your mind as that's happening. It's a beautiful line. I think it's more beautiful than he realised it was when he wrote it.
Yeah.
I love it. And that song, this song is just full of these things for me. And that's it. Honestly why it's just me. It's what I want to write. It's the music I want to make.
And if you just take that specific line, like, you've got something that's quite poetic, the tension's overflowing. And then 2 seconds later, he's talking about a cigarette brand. Like, how? Because we said about that, he can it switch easily between like conversational and then something more poetic, theatric. But doing it in the same line, I mean, I don't know. I think I feel like you could probably condense the entire lyrical themes on this album to that literally one line.
Yeah.
The tensions overflow with every Benson that she's throwing on the floor and in my mouth.
It's all about that push-pull, Josh. You're totally right. It's like, here's what I can do, but here's what I'm actually going to do. It's basically listening to, I don't know. It's like listening to Russell Brand talk.
Yeah.
I've got all this intelligence, but also I'm going to swear loads and probably fuck your daughter. Well, at least Russell Brand from...
Yeah, 2008. Not Russell Brand from now. Yeah. Like Matt said like the other day that... You see them guys and they've still got a mullet because they never let the 80s die. The era of Matt Healy having that leather jacket and Russell Brand being on TV, that's our era.
Yeah. Oh, God. Russell Brand's Ponderland predates this album, but my God, that was good.
Yeah. If you don't know it, what, 22-minute episodes, they're all on YouTube.
Oh, God, so funny. And then when you've watched them, hit us up because we'll probably start a podcast about Russell Brand's Ponderland.
Yeah, it's
Whoa, whoa, we've missed. We've never actually went into verse 2 fully. We never went over there. It's not about your body. It's just social implications. Brought upon by this party that we're sitting in, and I think that's brilliant because that's such a long, complicated sentence. It shouldn't fit rhythmically into anything. But yeah, it does, which is a credit to Matthew Timothy Healy.
I like the lyric because I can see loud music at a party and two people sat on a couch having quite a loud conversation, but the music's so loud that other people can't hear. And she's literally going, yeah, I'd fuck you, but not here, mate. Like, come on.
But like, I could proper see it, like, almost sympathetic, like, good eye contact, hand on his shoulder, like, going, look, it's on, but just not right now, because my friends are over there and they'd laugh at me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's all sorts in there, like, the social implications could be anything, other relationships.
Well,
shit that's gone on in the past. It's it leaves you as a listener open to like interpret that, and it's a very deep thing that draws you in and maybe leaves you thinking about what it might mean, which is quite challenging to a listener. I think it's not spelling anything out, is it?
Yeah,
well, I'm just thinking about that line. Like, it's not sang any quicker than the first verse. Like you say, Matt, it's still very rhythmic the way it's delivered, but I just don't. How does it work so well? Because it's not. If you take the individual lines of the first verse, they're not sang. The words aren't sang any slower on those.
You just got big gaps. So you got magazine. Know what I mean? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. She definitely got that. So you just got the extra bar filled with music.
Yeah,
filled with music.
Well, you're not wrong.
Filled with lyrics. There's music all around in this song, from the start to the finish. It's all music.
So yeah, glad we covered that bit.
I'm passionate about this song, man. It feels good to be back on this situation. Yeah.
You know the line, I'd like to say you've changed, but you're always the same. That reminds me of a film called Basketball. Have either of you seen it or heard of it?
I've heard of it because I remember it being in your DVD collection.
Yes, so Basketball is Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park fame, but it's a film rather than a cartoon, and like they're just losers effectively. At the start of the film, they go to a party and this woman's like, oh, you've not changed since high school, and they're like, oh cool, and she's like, no it's not. It reminds me of that.
So yeah, I think I think those lyrics were never meant to be analysed in the way that we've done that tonight, but important to me, and I think they push and pull, they play with you, they go, the rhythm changes, it's, they're fucking great.
I think it's...
the Healy, peak Healy.
Listening to that demo of, especially the one that's on YouTube with just the one with just the chorus lyrics, I think it is... This is my top tier analysis, hopefully Guinness World Record winning. That's our new campaign. It was White Claw last week. It's Guinness World Records this week. no, 2 weeks ago, White Claw. I think that they wrote this song musically and they were like, this is great. Let's work on this. Let's work on this. And then obviously the lyrics were added retrospectively. And I think there was the specific lines that are like just amazingly well written. But I don't think that the lyrics are as a comprehensive a story as something like Sex. But I also think that it doesn't matter for this song. Because it's the whole thing's a feel, isn't it? It's a feel of what it's going for.
Yeah.
You're right. They're out of the lyric book. They're out of, oh, that's clever. I'll write that down. And like, you create something around that and you can add a few words in. Or like change words, do you know what I mean? Say you wanted to an extra syllable, you could say cigarette instead of Benson, do you know what I mean? And you can like look at your lyric book and go, oh, well, we'll make it fit by doing that or whatever. And I do, it's not like a linear story of one thing that happened to a person. It's some vibey stuff that sounds cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's the lyric book raffle, isn't it?
A tombola.
Well, you know, people are naive if they don't think that's how songs are written. Do you know what I mean? You don't sit down. That's what happened.
Yeah, but I think people are people can be quite open about that. I know David Bowie, I don't know what it was exactly, but he had a method of writing a load of random words down. And then
I don't believe you, Josh. You just said you know David Bowie. For a start, he's deceased.
I don't think he's from Rochdale.
hang on, guys.
Does he go in Topham's?
Do you know my dad says that? That's my dad's thing. Like, if someone says, "Do you know this girl?" Like, and he's like, he doesn't know him at all. They'll go, "Does he go in Topham's?" It is funny, that, isn't it? Because it's like my dad's regular, like, haunt where he goes once a week. Like, he said that for the past fucking 30 years of my life, mate, and it's in my head now.
Does he go
in Topham's? Like, fucking obviously not. Brandon Flowers doesn't go in Topham's.
For a start, he doesn't drink.
He's a mom.
He's a mom. Yes.
Jemma don't believe me. Jemma don't believe
that
the killer's a Mormon.
What I was going to say was, I know he had a method of basically writing down a load of random words and then just putting in, I don't know, standard words between them to make them things like and the to make them make sense lyrically. And he basically got one of his ideas together, which was literally just to write random things down. So I think, I think people are aware that lyrics aren't a sort of poetic, you know, chronologically wrote out in like a sort of long form idea. Yeah.
So what you're saying is lyrics are like crosswords.
I am, even though I might not knew I was, but I would like you to elaborate on that analogy.
Just random words that you fill in with other words.
Josh, you used to like on the podcast, but like hits blunt.
Yeah.
That meme of Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tweet that.
Oh god, I can't believe he's a father.
Hits blunt memes.
He's got like six kids.
Does he? Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. I did a Steve McDonald then, it went really high.
This isn't his first first child.
Hits blunt memes are just the best, man.
42 billion? Is that how much he's worth?
Surely not.
What? Elon Musk?
I don't think any of his companies had any money.
Yeah, no, Tesla is going to be... Yeah, I'm really up on Tesla. They're going to completely just... Yeah, they're the one. He also owns spaceships. Hey, Josh, since I robbed your bit, can you see this?
Ah, yes. Hang on. Okay, right, everyone. Oh, my God, I'm doing the bit. Welcome to the feature that is Josh Daniels' last scene.
Woo!
10 past 10.
When? What day?
Today. 28 minutes ago.
Oh my god! He's been live.
George has been on his phone.
Holy
shit. During
this podcast.
Do you reckon he's listening live? Oh wait, no, we don't offer that service. Yeah, join our Patreon.
Hey, some of us who listen to podcasts.
What phone do you reckon George has got? I reckon he's got an iPhone 6.
Going to say 6. Maybe 6S.
I reckon. No, yeah. I reckon George is on an iPhone X.
He's up to date.
No, because that wouldn't be up to date. iPhone 11 would be up to date. I reckon he's got
his mum's iPhone 6S.
I reckon he's got an iPhone X, and I reckon he's waiting till his iPhone upgrade service allows him to get to the 11. Oh, hang on. Or am I confusing George with me? Right.
Shit,
he might be waiting for the 9 that never came out.
Yeah. What's going to be next? Is he going to think out with a 12? Surely they're not just going to go up in number.
You know, if primary school maths has taught me anything, it's that 12 comes after 11.
No, but I mean, that can't be it now in terms of every iPhone can never just be iPhone N plus 1. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've got to change it at some point.
Start using the alphabet.
Yeah. iPhone A. Oh, that'd be pretty cool, actually. I start using the Greek alphabet.
Yeah.
start using Morse code. Have you got the iPhone ...
Yeah.
Love me too. Right, let's do a sentence on She Way Out. Let's try it. Let's be as condensed as we possibly can. Who wants to go first?
Well, give us a chance to think about a sentence. Good God.
Have you seen that? I keep trying to reference these and nobody gets it, and it must be from something, but there's like an eternity later. It's like a French accent.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, and he's like, 1 hour later.
1 eternity later.
One sentence on She Way Out.
Right. I'll start. Okay. A quality album track indicative of the style of this record.
Deep. My shit is all from SpongeBob SquarePants. That's what I'm referencing.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Matt, your sentence.
sorry, just to go back to that 1 hour later thing, it's from SpongeBob.
Yeah, and 1 eternity later, like it's the same thing, and that's why it's picked up everywhere. Obviously, SpongeBob is a big part of your pop culture references. If you grew up with Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, which I did not, I was BBC only. My parents would not spring for Sky, so big up you, Sky.
How would I describe this song in one sentence? It just makes you want to move.
It's background music in the foreground.
Yeah.
I think it is objectively good. I don't think you could play it to anyone and they would say it's bad, even if it's not the like style of music they like. You'd be like, well, yeah, I can understand how that is appealing, surely. But maybe it's just because I'm incredibly biased.
I was just thinking then, I wonder if this song had been maybe a bit higher up in the album track listing, that I'd like it a bit more. Not like it a bit more, I just maybe I'd given it a bit more consideration. I feel
like every week's like a sales pitch for you, Josh. Me and Judy basically go, right, Josh, this is why this song's fucking sick. And you're like, I never liked this one, but I think he's moving up there now.
when it gets to like sort of, what, album 3, I'm going to be like, guys.
Yeah, you'll be the leader at that point, bro.
How to draw? Oh my god!
Welcome to Pass It, Play It.
Background music in the foreground, man. That is, in a sentence is probably my music taste summed up.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right, should we get out of here?
What a fucking good episode! Really enjoyed this tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Felt good.
I'm gonna have listened to this song with a whole new perspective now.
Yeah, buddy. Interpolation on that.
What I will say, guys, just wait till we get to I Like America and America Likes Me, then I'm gonna be convincing you to.
No, I like that song.
I need convincing.
Really? On that?
Hey, save it for the episode.
I will.
Don't waste the content, bro.
I'm never going to mention that song already again. Until about this time next year when we get onto it. Right. Okay, thank you everyone for listening to the show. You can tweet us at the1975pod, where you give us a nice follow. You can find us on Facebook by searching Pause It, Play It. Pause It, Play It, the1975podcast will come up. That's how the search algorithms work. If you can give us a follow on your podcast streaming service, that'd be grand. Or rate us 5 stars if your streaming service offers that. Like Apple Podcasts, that'd be just dandy. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh William without the vowels.
I feel like I need to mix this up, but I don't know how to. Maybe I need to be a bit more rhythmic. Okay, and you can find me at J to the E to the double U to the K to the N to the double E to the O to the R. Which is actually pronounced Junior.
Shaboy!
100. You crazy for this one, Rick.
Boy.
Thank you, Matthew. And Dan, you abstain from all social media, so no one can find you anywhere apart from your house. Podcast.
Here's my home address is.
And rooting through bins near you.
P.O. Box.
Send me a postcard.
Right, yeah, thank you. We will be... takes a long pause to look at the album again because I can't remember if it's Pressure or Menswear next.
Menswear.
We will be out next week with Menswear. What a great tune.
Yes, it is. Menswear's really good. Well, I think that's a recurring theme. We tend to like a lot of songs by the 1975.
That's, there's three left. Fellas.
Does that mean we get a 2-year break?
Yeah, we'll go away and we'll write the second episode of the podcast. Three left, and then we're going to do a few bonus stuff before we get into the second album. So, yeah. Catch us next week. How about that? Right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week.
Love you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.